Okay, page Ayin Ches Halacha Nun Vav Va'aniyim Merudim Tavi Bayis. What does it mean, Merudim? It means destitute. It means the has we really do, I guess we refer to him as an Evio. We mentioned last week there are different terms for the poor. There's an Ani and an Evion. An Ani has least dignity, an Evion does not even have dignity. A homeless person, Purim is all about Matanois Lo Evionim. Here it says the word, another concept called Aniyim Merudim. Now, I don't know, it's interesting, what is called exactly, what is the difference between an Ani, an Evion, and an Aniyim Merudim? The word Merudim has a connotation that has absolutely nothing. Whatever it means. So Tavi Boy says in the Pasuk Yeshaya, Godl Ka'akbolas Orchim Me'akbolas Pnei Ashchina. Here he tells us that bringing a guest into your home is even greater than the Makabal, the Pnei Hashchina. We learned this from Avram Avinu, Shenem, says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem, Al No Savar Mi'al Avdecha. What a chutzpah. Avram Avinu is talking to Hashem, and he says, Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, can you please excuse me? I have to take care of something. What could be more important than speaking to Hashem? How can it be? How can it be that if a person speaking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, please, I have something more important. It reminds me of years ago. We were learning. There was someone that I knew. He's still part of the OU, and he was invited to go with a group of people from the OU into the Oval Office and meet with President Bush W. And while they were sitting in the Oval Office, one of those individuals, their cell phone went off. Okay? So you think it's bad your cell phone goes off in the shir, your cell phone goes off in the Oval Office, sitting around the desk with the President of the United States. And Bush W. said, you should take it. It's probably important. That's what he said. You should answer it. It's probably very important. What was Bush W. really in essence saying to him? What a chutzpah. What a nerve. You're coming here. Is there anything more important than meeting with the President of the United States? And he wasn't saying instead of Gaiva. I'm a nothing. But I represent the office of the United States. I represent the office of the United States of America, the most powerful country in the world. And you have the chutzpah to come here and have your cell phone on and it should ring? Well, it's probably very important.
His wife wanted to know if he's coming home for supper. Okay,
so it was a good comment. A very, very fascinating comment. Him to say it's probably important. It was clearly a shtech.
They should have prepped it.
Of course, you don't even. There are certain things in life you don't need to be prepped. It's common sense. Not so common. This, but unfortunately, like there are certain things you don't need books to tell you. You learn Moses far, and they tell you these basic things. You don't need. You should not need to spend your time learning certain things in Sfarim that are so elementary, are so simple. Okay, so this what we just read triggered a memory of that story. What it says over here is, can you imagine, Avraham Avinu did even worse. He's sitting in the ultimate Oval Office, he's sitting by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and his cell phone rings, and he answers it! It didn't just ring, and you turn off the cell phone. He answered it! Hello? Hello? Who is this? I'm your guest, I'm waiting. Mr. President, excuse me, I have something more important. How can that possibly be? Shocking. It's unbelievable shocking. That's exactly what it says in Parshas, the beginning of Parshas Vayera. Vayera, Elav Hashem, Be'eloni Morev, after he was healed from the Bris Milah, and he says, Hashem, Alno, Savar, Mi'al Avdecha, Omar Avram, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hamtein Li. Excuse me, I know you want to talk about World War III, but I have something more important I have to tend to. There's a poor man at the door who needs. I have to give him a dollar. I have to give him a piece of something to eat. Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hamtein Li Ad She'achnis Orchim Leveisi. It goes to show that Hachnosas Archim is even more important than Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina.
But I think today, everybody's different here, but mostly our guests are like social guests.
Exactly, yeah, you don't count. We do not count. Everyone is doing it. Right.
This is what the real McCoy will be.
This is the real McCoy. We're not discussing until you go invite someone for Shabbos. Half the time you invite someone for Shabbos, they don't want to be invited. They want some peace and quiet. They Shabbos through their day off. The question is, do you invite them? I remember in Taravadas, there was a person, there was a fellow, an elderly fellow, his wife passed away in a very difficult life. He didn't have children. His wife passed away. So I said to someone then, does he have a place to go for Shabbos? Where does he go for Shabbos? So he starts screaming at me, Shabbos! Shabbos! Oh, excuse me. Shabbos! I remember who this was. I can tell you his name. You may even know who he is. Shabbos! He has 100 invitations for Shabbos. That's not the problem. What about dinner on a Tuesday night? Who's bringing him dinner Tuesday night? This old guy, this old fellow who lives in the apartment building over there. Shabbos after shul, someone takes him home to give him a meal. Even that's a chesed. That's not the problem. The problem is during the weekday, who's giving him breakfast? Who's doing his laundry? He can't care for himself. He's an old man. He's almost 90 years old. He's all alone. That's the problem. Exactly. So all of these social guests, that is not called hachnosas archem. No way. Most of the time when people invite guests, because they need the guests, they need someone to talk to. People are so desperate today. People, no one's willing to listen to you. People are so desperate today to have someone just to talk to, just to let out some steam. So they invite people. Do me the favor. I want someone. I need a guest. I need someone I can just, you know, let myself out a little bit. I'll give you a little herring. And a little burnt challah that has too much salt, and some other things that are not in your best interest. But just let me vent. It's very, very common. That is not called hachnosas orchem. Hachnosas orchem is where you do something to someone else when they are the ones who need the help. And there are people. Don't kid yourself. There are plenty of people who need to be invited for Shabbos. Plenty of people. And those people, unfortunately, are not the most pleasant Shabbos guests. Those people, they don't necessarily dress and smell as you like, and their manners are not 100%, and they're not very pleasant to deal with. But those are the people who really need the Hachnosas Archim, and some of those people they really need to be invited during the week. They need help the whole week around, and that is the real Hachnosas Archim, and that's even greater. Greater than Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina. Hamtein li ad sha'achnis orchem leves ve'inadim chayil ha'alachilim basal ha'shkuzim yayin el-kvi sha'yecholis b'yodo. You're not mechuyiv to give these people steak and to give them expensive wine. You only give them what you give yourself. You give them, you're not mechuyiv to go overboard. Eslachmo meimav v'yitin lechem b'simcha. Whatever you give them, give them b'simcha. Whatever you give them, you give, like, yitoyv, Aruchas Yorok V'simchas Panim. Look at this beautiful expression. It's better to give someone vegetables. Here, some cabbage. Come for my Shabbos Seuda. I am serving delicious lettuce. Bugs? Maybe, yeah, maybe not.
That's the problem.
Did I check it so good? You'll have to be Samech. You have to be Samech on some heterim. The bugs are not near Leinayim. But V'simchas Panim. When this fellow walks out of the house, he's besimcha. This is much more beneficial mishor ovus than to give him fattened meat uponim zuufim, but to scream at him, "You sit down, you fat cow! When I feed you this delicious, exquisite steak." Okay, so this is the famous. But look at this. Look nuschois. You have this. You have the same. Rashi says something very similar with regard to kibud avoim. That a person, if he's mechabed his parents with the most exquisite, expensive delicacies, but says to his father, "Old man, sit down and chew. Chew your food. And here, chew. I'm giving you here the best of the best. It's cost me $100 a serving." The person is not going to Olam Haba. The person would serve his father lettuce and say, "L'derech Eretz, Father, how can I be mechabed you? Please sit down and be kind and gracious, even though you serve him inexpensive food, the person is koina olam haba. So here he says something very, very similar in regard to achnasas orchim, and the Sefer Chassidim has coined his own unique expression, ki toiv aruchas yorok, a meal of vegetables, but it is accompanied by the simchas panim, a happy face, that is infinitely greater than mishor ovos, an ox that has been fattened in some stable in order to produce high quality meat, but it comes with uponim zu'ufim, an angry face. Next paragraph.
Seeing the bug, is that a heter? That's a heter?
If you cannot, if it's a real heter, if the bugs are not nira le'inayim, it is mutter, it's kosher.
Why do you have to look for the bugs?
Because they can be seen. You just do not know what to look for. If you were trained to see them, you can clearly see them. They're green. They blend into the foliage. They can clearly be seen. Those type of bugs indeed are forbidden. The bugs that are permitted are the bugs that cannot be seen. They're not nira le'inayim. What is called nira le'inayim? At a arm's length. An arm's length can you see? If you don't see it, it's mutter. Now the thing is, if you were trained, how to see these bugs, and if you had the proper lighting, and if your eyes were at their best, then in many cases where we are concerned, there would be a problem. There indeed would be a problem if you have the proper lighting and your eyes are the way they should be, 20/20, and you know what you're looking for. Look, I see the bug right there. So that is a problem. Now today, when you see people with microscopes and you see the light boxes, that just makes it easier for them. That just makes it easy to spot it in a second. And instead of straining my eye and looking, taking 10 minutes to look carefully, I can see it in 1 second. If you're running a business, you don't have time to patch around and go through. You need to do it quick, 1, 2, 3, quick, chick chack. So that you have a light box and you have other techniques which make it very easy. But a mumche can see the bugs even if he does not have all of the equipment. But if the bugs are so small where you would not be able to see it, then you're right, then there is no prohibition whatsoever. Everything that you eat has bugs. It's just that's not nearly an ayin. Take a microscope, you'll find bacteria, you'll find all this type of stuff all over the place. Okay, that's a sideshow.
Why is it more prevalent now than it used to be 30 years ago?
So that is a debate. Some say that it's not more prevalent. It's just that we become more aware. It's not more, nothing has changed. Everything is exactly the same. We become more aware. We become more aware of the issues. And some say it is more prevalent because in Echanami, because the environment is not what? What? A bacteria? Sprays the pesticides? So they don't use it anymore?
No,
dangerous. It's dangerous. It's poisonous. It kills all the bugs. So today it's toxic. It's viewed as being toxic, they have changed. Okay, that is a debate. There's probably a combination of many, many factors. Okay, we're not using the same pesticides. We are more knowledgeable, and maybe the environment has changed slightly. Where it is more susceptible to these types. The insects have resisted certain types of things, and they're more prevalent. It's obviously a combination of many, many factors. Next, when the person needs, you should speak to him. And you should say the following beautiful expressions. Adoni, my master. Echel b'simcha. Okay, you call your friend my master. Okay, even to call a common man your master. Echel b'simcha. Eat with joy. We should say b'lev toiv. Es yenecha. Oy meimecha, your wine or your water. Ki atzur yodea. Ki berotzen v'nefesh chafetz. Ohisi noisin lach basar. Hashem. Hatzur means the ribayin shalom. He knows that I want to give you with joy. I have with will. V'nefesh chafetza. It's a beautiful expression. They use it in journals. They use this expression. V'nefesh chafetza. A will of desire. Hayisi noisin chabosar. I very much want to give you the best, but I don't have the best. B'chayei nafshi. And the only reason why I'm giving you lettuce, I'm giving you food that's not befitting your honor, is because I just can't afford it. I just don't have the money. B'chayei nafshi, I swear by the life of my neshama. I don't know if this means a real shvua. She'ein li ma she'etin l'cha. I don't have better than this. I'm sorry, I can't go give you a dinner that is worth $500 a portion. The best I can give you is what I'm giving you now. And please understand that. but I'm giving it to you with Simcha v'yalzenemar, v'safek lo ra'ev nafshecha. You shall give over. V'safek means to give over. To the hungry, your neshama. Nourish him. Nourish the hungry with your will.
Maybe you shouldn't go visit. You know that he can't afford it. Maybe you shouldn't go.
Well, if the person can't afford, he can't afford. That's not the issue.
Doesn't
the issue.
Just don't say
this, a person who cannot afford but does have something to give a poor person, and the alternative is the poor person will have nothing. Of course, maybe you should give him. But it's saying over here the message is that if you're going to give another person food, and what you're giving him is not lefi kavodai, the person really needs more. The person really deserves more. So you say to him, "Listen, I'm sorry. I'm giving you the best that I can give you, but listen, enjoy it." And maybe the day will come when I'll be in a better situation. I'll give you even more. Next, when you go in the morning, give him a little bit of bread. This is a very famous story. Everyone quotes this. This Chazal, I don't know if it comes only from the Sefer Chassidim, or maybe it comes from other sources. It's very, very popular. What happened? David, an entire city was killed out. Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim was the place where the Mishkan, Noiv Givod, it was one of the places where the Mishkan was located until they built the Beis HaMikdash. In Noiv there were 85 Koyhanim who wore the ephod. We learned last week's Parashas Tetzaveh that the Kohen Gadol wears an ephod. What's on the ephod of Choshen? An ephod was a garment of distinction. It was not only worn by the Kohen Gadol, it was worn by any leader, any prophet, any person of distinction in the time of the Nevi'im. In the time of Noiv, there were 85 individuals who wore an ephod. An ephod was not only a garment that was not miyuchad for a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol wore 8 garments. One of the 8 garments was the ephod. A Navi, or a person of distinction, also wore an ephod, a special garment. And in Nov, there were so many distinguished people, it says in the Pasuk, 85 people wore this beautiful, beautiful, distinguished garment. All of these people, these 85 people, plus everyone who lived in this entire city, which were obviously very holy people, because if there were 85 people wearing an ephod, that means you can only can imagine who everyone else was, were all murdered by Shaul HaMelech. Why were they murdered by Shaul HaMelech in cold blood for no good reason? Because Doeg HaAdomi said Lashon Hara, who he said really Motzei Shemra, that all of the people of Nov, the city called the Ir HaKoyhanim, they are supporting your nemesis. They are supporting your enemy, David. Shaul was paranoid. He thought that David was trying to take away the Malchus from him. So he pursued, he chased after David and tried to kill David. And anyone that would protect, that would shelter, harbor a terrorist, in his eyes, David, would be killed. And he gave the command, based on the advice of Doeg HaAdomi, to wipe out the entire city of Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. What was their crime? The crime was, David came to Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim and he said, "I'm starving. I'm starving to death." He was overtaken by what's called bulmois. Bulmois is a disease of hunger, of extreme hunger. And he had hunger pangs. He was about to die. So there was a famine in this city, Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. It seems that there was a famine. There was no food to be found anywhere, not even a morsel of bread. The only food they can find in the entire city of Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim was the lechem haponim. The lechem haponim that was resting on the shulchan. So pikuach nefesh permits them to take the lechem haponim off the shulchan and feed it to David HaMelech. They gave it to David HaMelech. He got a report. Shaul Doeg found out about this. He told Shaul, and Shaul gave the command, send in the army and wipe out the whole city. Why was David suffering from famine? Because he did not have a good breakfast. Why did he not have a good breakfast? Who was the last person to escort him, to say goodbye to him? Yehoinasan. He went to say goodbye to Yehoinasan. He parted, that's the haftarah of Mochar Chodesh. Maha Chaydesh, he met with Yehoinasan to determine if Shaul HaMelech wants to kill him or not. And the determination was, they did a test, and Shaul HaMelech indeed wanted to kill him. Yehoinasan gave him a report, and he kissed him goodbye. Yehoinasan should have given him a gift package. When you send him off, he should have given him a dog bag. Like by a bris. You go to a bris, they give you the aluminum foil, and you wrap up your bagel. It shouldn't be a mice of doyek or doymi. Possibly. Possibly. You got it. Whenever a guest, the most important thing you give when a guest leaves your home, the most important thing is make sure he does not leave your home on an empty stomach. You send him away early in the morning, you give him breakfast. If you don't want to give him, he doesn't want to take breakfast, give him at least. Give him a bag. Give him a doggy bag. Give him a package that has some food inside. It's the most important thing. I was actually speaking to someone yesterday. It's an amazing insight. Yesterday, I was speaking to someone who's a Rebbe. He's a Rebbe in a yeshiva. He does Kriya with little children. He's a Kriya expert. He's a mumche on teaching children how to read. It's the most important thing that a child knows how to read. Today, they know that all of the problems in chinuch come from children not knowing how to read. Because you know, if they're not super duper fluent in reading, and then they get to the next grade, they struggle with understanding and keeping up because they're not super duper fluent in reading. So today, in the better schools, they go overboard. They go meshuga. They go meshuga, mamish meshuga, in making sure the kids in first, second, third grade, they know how to read infinitely better than most adults in a good school. In a good school, unfortunately, not every school is so good. But I know some kids in Lakewood. They go to a girls' school in Lakewood, where they're very into this. They're very into the. They're into mamish. The kids don't leave the school unless they literally know the Aleph Beis backwards. Okay, does anyone here know the Aleph Beis backwards? I bet you most adults, you know the Aleph Beis. First question. You say a letter, you have to know that a blink, the letter before, the letter after.
And the thing that they know, indeed they use, or in the tumim for him, to so what is going to be, what is Yeshua, they use also or in the tumim for
that's
him.
Not what it says. That's not what it says. That's, okay, that's a different topic. We're not discussing that. Let's discuss this time over here. Knowing how to read is critical. So I have a friend who is an expert in teaching children who are falling behind in Kriya. He sees basically they have a class, and they teach, the Rebbe teaches, and their kids who fall behind. So the Rebbe can only do that much. They have to call in assistants to take out of the class the weak students to help them, to give them private tutoring in order to keep them up to snuff with everyone else in the class. So he told me, he was dealing with a student, and the Rebbe said, this kid's the worst. This kid really, really is in trouble. You got to spend a lot of time on him. You really got to get him. You got to get him up to speed. He takes him out. He works with him. And then he says to him, are you hungry? Are you hungry? And the kid says, yes. So the Rebbe goes, my friend goes, he gets him oranges and gets him some food, goes to the Rebbe's, you know, room there, he steals all the good food and he gives the kid devours the food in a second, like mamish devours it. A little kid. He's malnourished, exactly. And then before you blink, and every day the Rebbe made sure, this my friend, he made sure the kid was got a good breakfast in the yeshiva. And the kid now is the top of the class. So I said, we had over here, I know this. I said, who came here? Rabbi Fried. Rabbi Dr. Fried. And he said, and he's one of the things I remember he said is glucose. Right? Glucose, sugar. He said, one of the most basic things when children are having a hard time in school is they didn't have breakfast. If a child does not have enough sugar in his brain, the good sugar, glucose, forget it. Then the kid does not have a standing chance. Okay, so David HaMelech over here was starving. Whose fault was it? Yehoinasan. Yehoinasan did not give David HaMelech breakfast when he left. They met out in the field and they did the simonim, as we all know from the maftar of Mochar Chodesh. But they kissed goodbye. And they parted, but he forgot to give him the bagel from the bris with the locks the Danish, wrapped up in aluminum foil, and David left hungry. By the time he got to Noiv, his to city of refuge of Noiv, Ir HaKohanim, he was in a state of starvation, what Chazal term they use, bull mice. There must be some scientific, some medical term for it.
Bulimia.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bulimia is when you starve yourself. Whatever it is, bull mice. It's related to bulimia. You hear about people who don't eat. There's a choly hanef. The choly is a sickness. They don't eat. He was in a state of, he was convulsing. He was deathly ill. And strangely enough, in Noiv, it's hard to understand what's going on there. There was a famine. Doesn't say what's going on. It's not really clear what was going on. There was not a morsel of food to be found in the entire city. How could that be? Not a morsel of food in the entire city. The only food to be found was the lechem haponim. So they made a psak halacha. The bezin convened, and they paskin spikuach nefesh fi David hamelech the lechem haponim. He's not a koyein. He's not entitled to the lechem haponim. It's kodesh, but ein dover oimei b'fnei bikuach nefesh. And they gave him tefillin the lechem haponim. And who gave the kohanim? The kohanim, and they were in charge of the mishkan. This was the mishkan that in transit right before they built the Beis Hamikdash. And when Shaul Hamelech found out about this, when he received the report from Doyei Kohadoimi. And Doeg was a Rasha, he spun it. He spun it the wrong way. Why did Doeg hate David so much? He was jealous. Why was he jealous? Because David gave a better Daf Yomi Shir than he did. Doeg gave a Daf Yomi Shir, and David gave a Daf Yomi Shir. People preferred David's Daf Yomi Shir for one simple reason, Chazal say, because he was a Suke Shmaitza Aliba de Hilchasa. When he gave his Daf Yomi Shir, like Professor Thurm gives his Daf Yomi Shir, when he comes out at the end, he says the Psak Halacha, Asuke Shemaitza Aliba de Hilchasa. But Doeg was unable to be Asuke Shemaitza, cannot tell you the bottom line because he did not have the Siyata de Shemaya. Why not? Because he learned Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim. And therefore, he was jealous, burning jealousy in the eyes of Doeg against David. So Doeg, he spun it. He told Shaul that David, your nemesis, has escaped to Noiv Ir HaKohanim, and they are in support of him. They are against you. Look, they gave the lechem upon him. So Shaul gave the command, and he wiped out the whole city. Hafle of a fellow who he killed. It's unbelievable who he killed. And this sin haunted him forever. His descendants, Ad kedei kach, that they had to actually the givonim, the whole long story, they had to give over his own children, to be hung up, had to be executed, the whole long story. Now for now, you all probably know it. And so here the Sefer Chasidim tells us, you know how this whole thing came about? Because breakfast. He didn't give him glucose. There was not enough glucose in the mind of David HaMelech. All Yonasan needed to do was to give David a doggy bag. All that was necessary to give him.
Soldiers are not culpable for following those orders?
Oh, you're asking a very good question. This is mamish, a very hot topic in headlines, right? Are soldiers in the Israeli army mechuyev to follow orders that they feel that their rabbi tells them is keneged kol ha'tarakula? Right, talk about the expulsion from Gaza. That was the big topic of debate. Are you allowed to give up land in Eretz Yisrael? What does it say in the Torah? It's a big debate, right? So let's say your rabbi tells you that it's osur, and then your commanding officer tells you that you have to go in there and evict all of the people and give up the land. Are you allowed to follow orders from your commanding officer when you, in your opinion, the opinion of your rabbi, who you are loyal to, tells you that this is keneged kol ha'tarakula? Okay, that's a big topic of discussion. And this indeed is a very big source. This is a source where the soldiers follow the command of Doeg HaDoimi to kill, to execute innocent people for nothing, for no reason whatsoever, total nonsense. Who says they even asked the question? Now, who knows? A lot of this is all over mystery, and you're right, it's habit.
Asher refused.
Avner. That's right. There's more to the story. I don't know all the details. I'm not too good at this. I don't remember the old details for another time. But the only thing we have to take out of this is a terrible, terrible tragedy came to Klal Yisrael all for one reason. You did not give. You are responsible to make sure your guest eats a good breakfast when he leaves your home. That's the limud hamusar. A yeshiva is mechuyev to make sure the students have food. That's part of the yeshiva. If they're not going to have what to eat, then forget it. Then nothing is going to start. If you are caring for children, the most important thing a parent has, child abuse, forget about everything else, is you don't stand a fighting chance unless the children are nourished properly. Malnourished, this is the aleph beis, shebe aleph beis.
Look at the Hakadosh Baruch Hu, we have to have the Israel and midwife.
They provide here in the back, that is correct. That is absolutely correct. They provide here all of this sugar and alcohol.
I don't know why they do it. And a lot of us are diabetics.
Give everyone here high cholesterol and anything that's not good for blood pressure. Come here, advertise a newspaper. If you want to know what you're not supposed to do for your blood pressure and for your cholesterol, come to the Young Israel Midwood Kollel. We'll teach you what you're not supposed to do. Yeah.
You're not talking about in the situation that he defended David HaMelech for Shaul, and Shaul became very angry with him and he took the Roma.
Yes, that was.
He was escaping. How we can go to
it's a
make,
miracle.
To make for him Sedal HaDalech. How we can do. It was rushed to go right away to
that was Shaul, the Yonason, Yonason was his best friend.
Yonatan was in rush to go right away to tell David to escape because he wanted to kill him.
Okay. Chazal still criticized that there was enough time for him to give him breakfast. Even though it was an emergency, they went out into the field. It seems like they had time out there. They criticized him. They criticized Yonatan. I'm not making this up. That's what it says here. That's what it says. Because of this, he did not give him. Because of the kigilafish, loy nasan yohanesan pass le David belechtem menu niskalgil hadav venergo venergo noiv ir hakoy hada venenshu shov yohanesan, and they were punished. Vialze nemar, and this it says al pass lechem yifsha gover, because of a piece of bread, because you didn't give the child a breakfast. Could you imagine this kid? Who knows what could have been with this kid? This kid didn't learn the alapes. One thing leads to the next. Rachman ul-Litzlan. Kial pas lecham yivsha gover, uch Hashem, shemitzvah lahachnis, kach mitzvah lila v'yisam, another halacha. There's a beautiful mitzvah to escort your guest, shenemar, the Avraham, hoylech imam l'shalicham. Avraham escorted the malachim, who were dressed up, who were posed, made believe they were human beings. We learned there's a mitzvah of levaya, a mitzvah to escort a guest out the door. One of the reasons given, there are many different reasons given, is to give him kavod, is to give him chashivas, egla arufa. That's what they say, egla arufa. Why did this person die? Because he didn't fight back. He was attacked on the road. He was attacked on the. I don't remember all the details. Just coming to memory, we have a sugya of Egla Ruf. A dead body is found in between two cities, and we don't know who killed him. So the Zakenim have to come out and they have to measure to which is the closest city, and then those Zakenim have to come and they have to bring an Egla and they have to decapitate. They have to make say this vidui. Yodeinu lo shofach es adam hazeh. Because if we would have seen him, we would have escorted him. Okay, I don't remember all the details, but there in the Rashi and Chazal, Rashi quotes the Chazal is that in that Chazal it's mentioned, it alludes to that the reason why this tragedy may have happened is because when this person left to go traveling, he was not escorted. At least partially. What benefit would there have been had he been escorted at least partially? So the Mefarshim tell us something very fascinating. They would have given him, he would have given him some self-esteem. If someone would have escorted him out, they would have made him a Su'udas Pareda. Guy is going to Eretz Yisrael, no one could care less. He gets up, packs up, gets on the plane, no one even knows he's gone. He's there, he has no self-esteem, no one could care less that I lived here for 30 years, and I'm gone. I feel like a piece of garbage. Then he comes to a makom of sakana. There's a bandit, and someone says, puts a weapon to his head, give me your money, or I'll press the trigger. So he says to him, pull the trigger. I couldn't kill less. My life is not worth anything anyway. And the ganav pulls the trigger. Why did he make that statement? Why did he give the impression, pull the trigger? Because you know what? No one could give a hoot about me. No one could care less about me. If the person would have, they would have made for him a su'udas preda, even for the wrong reason, we're so happy to finally get rid of you. But at least they would have put on a show when the ganav says to him, if you don't give me your money, I'll pull the trigger. And he'll say, you're going to pull the trigger? You know who I am? They just made for me a su'udas preda. They're going to come get you. He would have had some self-esteem. He would have fought back. It would have made a big, big difference. And he would not have been killed. So part of the element of levoya is when a person leaves, he has to go off in a frame of mind that he is important. And that frame of mind changes his attitude when he travels, which be'etzim traveling is a matzav of sakana. Okay?
I always like to tell Rabbi Vlado's story. Yes. Aidus to my uncle.
Yes.
I only know from the house. I don't know from his office, but I know in his house when anyone came to see him, sometimes he could not get up from a chair. That's how bad his pain was. He would go to the door.
Anyway. Wow. Amazing. Amazing.
Amazing. Nephew, and I'm sure amazing. Many others.
I think of a certain person I go every so often to visit, not here, far, far away. And it's really amazing. Whenever I go, when I leave them, they give me like a mashalach manas, a big mashalach manas for the car, mamish. And they will not say they will. And I beg them, no. They refuse. They even send their children out to put it in the car, whether I like it or not. And like it's really something. It speaks volumes about a person of the chashivas of these inyanim. What it says, David. Look what it says here. David, Yonasan and David. Look what it says here about the whole parsha of Egla Arufa. There's something to be said. And the story that someone told me yesterday, Hashkacha Pradis, about this fellow who's a rebbe who teaches kriya to children, and he said to me, "Did you eat today? Did you eat prayer?" And no one would have known. And this is ma'aseh b'chol yom. Oh, a lot of the problems of the children, they're malnourished. They're malnourished, even from good homes. Homes where it's not an issue, it's just that the parents are just not on top of the situation. And it leads... Run out. Okay, one more prayer very quickly, because I really want to spend a lot of time on today on our next topic. Micha was a terrible person. He took with him the pestle in the yam. When everyone was saying, Ze keli v'yanveyu ra'osa shivcha shebayam ha'shaloi ro yecheskel ben buzi, Micha had in his knapsack the pestle Micha. Then midi eisel ha'mishkan, atshayu mis, yeah, no, he was not a grandchild. He was not a grandchild. He was the one who was the founder of the Makom Avod Zara, and Moshe's grandchildren were the workers there, but he was not the grandchild. Look at this. This is inside. The smoke of the Pesel Micha mingled with the smoke with the Ketores. Well, the smoke, isn't that horrible? Micha, who was such a Rasha, who took with him a Pesel in the Yam, and who erected an Avodah Zarah right next to the Mishkan, in the desert and in Eretz Yisrael. And, what? I don't know. Somehow, a lot of stranger things happen in this world. And the smoke mingled. Could you believe this? The smoke of the Avodah Zarah mingled with the smoke of the Beis HaMikdash of the Mishkan. How could it be that Hashem didn't strike him down? The answer is because he was Nizar in the mitzvah of Levoya. Hachnosas Orchim. He had a Chabad house. What?
When was it?
in the 40 years in the desert, and when they came into Eretz Yisrael during the Yimei HaShoftim, during the days of the Shoftim. Okay, the story of Pesel Micha, Moshe Rabbeinu, is the very end of Sefer Shoftim. Many Mepharshim said that it's not in chronological order. It really may have happened much earlier when they came into Eretz Yisrael during Gilgal, during the first 14 years when they came into the land. But not necessarily. Not everyone agrees to that. The whole Shiloh, when exactly it happened. The Parsh of Micha is at the end of Sefer Shoftim, which seems to imply that it happened 400 years later after they came into Eretz Yisrael. But that's not necessarily true, because the Mepharshim say that Ein Muktam U'Mu'uchar, the Maisen, the end of Shoftim, they really have happened right when they came into Eretz Yisrael, in the very beginning, before many of the Shoftim. All right, whatever it is, it's not relevant. The point over here is that we have over here a person who was instrumental, was a chayte machti, and yet Hashem did not strike him down because he was generous. He had Chabad houses. He gave hachnosas orchim. He supported people. He gave people who travel on the road. Mamash a Chabad house. Okay, mamash. You see over here the greatness. People, they come back, people who are the biggest, the most anti-Chabadniks, when they go traveling, they all of a sudden, they're transformed. You know what the Chabad rabbi did for me? What he had, the hachnosas orchim, what he did for me, I couldn't have survived without him. So this is a very big inyan. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's not something you take lightly. It's a tremendous chesed, and that's what it says of Shapita Mitsuy Lo'oivrei Derach. We have to stop here, and we're going to take a short break. Then we're going to learn about pets in Halacha, a review of this new fantastic Sefer by Rabbi Chaim Belsky, Pets in Halacha.
So what's your side?
No yard side today. No,
no,
no. Some say he said that it's Rabbi Huda HaChassid. It's your side today.
Remember we discussed the Hoichash Menesri?
Yeah.
I went to tell you this, because if I asked somebody who goes to tell you, so they still do it.
Where?
Intel Chicago,
okay. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky held that that in a mokum that's miyuchid for learning, you only do a Hechash Shmoneh Esrei. There was never a takana of chazaras hashatz in a mokum that's designated for learning.
I just asked one guy who married into Tels, okay. And he said to me, why he doesn't do it?
In many yeshivas, they abolished it. They stopped doing it. They stopped doing it.
Maybe they teach people how to daven.
I can tell you, I daven on occasion at MTJ.
Yeah.
They do a
okay. The old yeshivas, maybe.
Yaakov Kamenetsky holds this probably borders on a bracha levatola. He holds it a borders on a bracha levatola to do a regular chazar sashatz.
Oh, yeah, these office minyanim, they do hard.
That's wrong. That's 100% wrong.
Because it's time limits. They have that's a lunchtime.
That's not. That's very weak. Very, very weak to do that. In a yeshiva, yeah,
it's
the
Boris
Wolny
that you never find this in Chassidus.
What? No. Because they say
it's only maybe if they say come on, come on. I went to Davin Sevier,
I can't do anything.
Which I was nervous, like even past the hour after the tomorrow, maybe before bed class. But they say Tachin.
They say okay.